Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Under the
Classic
Radar.
Classic lineup of Under the Radar.
Old school Under the
old
Radar.
Old school lineup, yeah.
David, what do we do on the show?
I don't know. We talk about basketball. I typically start yelling about the border war or something.
Yeah, this is a show we talk about all those little conferences.
Yeah, the little conferences. The regular one-bid leagues. Like the leagues that typically only get one team in, although there's no rule that says they can't get more than one. They just typically don't.
And there's also no rule that says the teams we don't discuss in this podcast, those other 10 quote unquote power or major conferences, have to get more than one team in, as we're going to find out with both the Atlantic 10 and the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah, there might be a couple this year that don't get more than one in.
Deservedly so.
Right, yes.
But what we like to do is go through all these conferences. There's 22 of them. We discuss them. The only team we're not going to discuss from these conferences at any great length is going to be Buffalo, because given that they are in the top 25, they are not technically under the radar.
Right.
You should know about them if you're following basketball.
Yes.
So that's it. Show over.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on Monday.
We got to go ahead right now. Let's pull up some standings.
Okay, yeah.
On the screen. And if I did this, we'll actually get them on the screen.
We have a feature conference. And the thing is, most of the time, I don't know who it is until we see it. Oh, it's the SWAC. I did not know we were going to be the SWAC.
Now, David, I figured I'd throw this out here. We have reached the end of non-conference play for most leagues. And we had a goal at the start of the season with the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Get 10 D1 non-conference wins.
And they met and shattered that record.
With Texas Southern's win on Saturday at A&M, it got up to 12.
Yeah. And what a historic performance out of conference for this for the SWAC this year. And credit where credit's due. Grambling 3-7. There were many years where they did not win three games total. Here they are winning three out of conference D1 games. 6-7 overall. And how about Texas Southern? Their three D1 wins, all these wins were pretty much road bye games, but knocking off Oregon, who it turns out isn't that good, but still a nice win. Baylor, it was Texas A&M was the third one?
Yeah, there they are. We got their team sheet, both those team sheets up on the screen there, and three Tier 2 wins for Texas Southern. Now, of course, a lot of Tier 3 and 4 losses, but those are three wins as solid as some teams that we've been discussing as big bubble teams or even tournament caliber teams at the end of the day.
And while we're talking about it, Chad, one of the things that I'm noticing with both of these teams is not a single D1 home game yet. And that's not unusual. It's not atypical for this league. They work on the extreme other end, whereas people talk about how Syracuse and the like never play on the road. These teams never play at home. And it's not just these two. It's all of them.
Yeah, actually, Grambling did have a home game against Southeastern Louisiana there.
But, oh, okay, I stand corrected. Yes.
Yeah, but other than that, you're right. Majority of these SWAC teams, all these teams in this conference, if there is more than three or four D1 non-conference home games a season, it's a rarity for the entire league combined, not just per team.
Yeah, and again, like since that is the featured conference, we dig a little bit deeper than just looking at it. What about that? There's been talk, should this conference even be Division I, even among some of the membership, although not seriously. They'll never transition down because of the revenue. But what would have to happen for this league to at least get to a point to where it could get on the 14 and 15 line? Do they keep scheduling games like this, or should they scale it back a little bit and try and win at least a few more games?
Well, you know what? If you take a look at a team like Texas Southern, let's assume that the Tigers went and roll through the SWAC this year. Maybe lose only one game, win the conference tournament, get that auto bid. Yeah. I think there's a case with those three big wins, this could be a 14 or 15 type of seed.
Yeah, if they do it, yeah.
I think they are good enough to do it. I think it's them and Grambling is going to be the battle for this conference title.
Right, and I agree with that. Grambling, again, kind of having a historic turnaround, worst to first story with them. So now that we're getting in the league play, and I believe it's conference play the rest of the way, it's going to be kind of fun to watch those two go at it.
In fact, let's take a look at the schedule for this week in the SWAC. There we go. Grambling is going to be at the Alabama State and Alabama A&M trip, while Texas Southern has their rivalry game against Southern.
Yeah, and again, big by SWAC standards rivalry there. Not as big as Southern Grambling, but still.
Right. That is the SWAC. That was our feature conference. Now let's get to teams that are going to be fighting to get towards the 12 line as opposed to fighting towards get towards the 15 line. And, let's start things off with the America East, as we tend to do. And David, I know you're really high on what the Stony Brook team has been doing. That real nice win at Northern Iowa, not a good Northern Iowa team, but it is a road win at Northern.
Right,
Iowa.
And they have seven true road wins, and of their three losses, I mean, two of them anyway were kind of surprises. So as good as they've been, you kind of get the feeling that they could have done even a little bit better. And I mean that more as a compliment than as a criticism. They're having an incredible year. Vermont, how about them also winning? I think is it six true road games?
Yeah. Vermont just coming off a win. It was a home win, but just went over Dartmouth just last night on Wednesday night there. But they have a real solid. I mean, I like both these teams, and you know, if we want to talk about seed lines, David, I think that these are teams that are like 13. If either one of these teams can roll through the conference, 13 seed line, I think that's probably what we're looking at, aren't we?
I think so. If it's one of those two, and again, like Vermont, you see the four losses. Well, one was at Kansas in a game where they were very competitive, and same deal at Louisville, not losing by much at all. I see that you're pulling them up here.
Yeah, pull Vermont and Stony Brook up here on the screen so we take a closer look at them.
Yeah, but and as soon as it loads, geez.
Yeah, I can't type correctly. So
yeah,
there it goes.
Okay, and you see at Lipscomb, and we will get to them here in a little bit, but at Kansas, that was a competitive game. Kansas kind of blew it open at the end. Same deal with Louisville. But, I mean, look at the wins. They've got – I'm sorry, it's four true road wins, and I think some of those are neutral floor wins in and of themselves. But look at Stony Brook there on the right.
Yes, that seven is just, true road wins.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Right.
I mean, the only head scratcher on Stony Brook is that Holy Cross loss. It was early in the season. Vermont, the Bucknell home loss, but I think Bucknell is better than a tier four loss. I think that loss will move up at least one tier before the end of the season.
Yeah, Bucknell really rolling right now.
But let's go ahead and take a look at what we've got coming up this next week in the America East, where Vermont is on, got the road trip to Albany and to Maine. Very difficult to always go up to Maine, while Stony Brook is at Lowell and hosting Binghamton. Yeah, Fordham had a lot of trouble going up to Maine.
Yeah. So, and again, I think it's a two-horse race, and I think that both of them are so much better than the rest of the league. It's going to be neck and neck all year. A lot at stake. This conference tournament is at campus sites. The first-place team gets to host it. I know it didn't really help Vermont out last year, but typically it's – I don't remember the last time since they went to this format that the first-place team didn't at least make it to the championship game.
The only thing I throw out there, you know, we were discussing in the Hoops HD report last night, and we're not going to do this for every conference tonight, but surprising and disappointing teams, kind of disappointed in what UMBC has done this year. I thought that,
you know, Hartford a little bit too.
Yeah. Well, although Hartford did have that big win at Boston College last week.
They did, yeah. Hartford a little bit too.
Atlantic Sun Conference.
Hey, Sun. Another two-horse race, I think.
Another two-horse race, but I'm going to throw this out there, David. We mentioned this last week, and it's
I'm wrong. I keep forgetting Liberty. Production. Okay, Chad, we got to start over. I forgot Liberty was in this.
Well, David, there are more top 50 net teams in the A-Sun than there, once again, than there are in the Pac-12 and Atlantic 10 combined.
Twice as many, I bet.
Twice as many. There is one top 50 team between the Pac-12 and A-10 combined. There are two right here, Liberty and Lipscomb. And NJIT, despite not having the net, is a top 50 RPI team under the old RPI.
A little bit of a disparity there. I don't know why the net doesn't like them. They've played a lot better than 142.
Yeah, they're coming off a nice win at Duquesne. That was a nice road win against a Duquesne team that has been somewhat competitive. You can see there's a lot of road wins there. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 road wins for NJIT.
Yeah, and some of those teams have played pretty well at home. You would think they'd be getting a little more love than that.
I guess you got to look at that strength of schedule because they've only played one game against the top two quadrants combined of that Houston loss.
Right, yeah, and they did lose to Houston rather decisively, but still a good year for NJIT so far.
And Liberty coming off that huge win at UCLA, that cost Steve Alford his job, so congrats to Liberty, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Why would it? Anyway, we talked about that the other night.
Yeah.
Not a fan of UCLA.
What's coming up this week in the ASUN? Edward Waters.
Edward Waters.
Tonight. We're recording this Thursday, early Thursday evening, so they're coming up tonight at Stetson. But then we get into conference play on Saturday.
This is always a fun league. How about this? North Florida kind of been a little bit down this year. North Alabama still looking for their first Div 1 win. Well, first win against a D1 team as a D1 school. I don't think it's going to happen this Saturday, but I do think they'll get it this year.
At North Florida, maybe not. Maybe Tuesday hosting a pretty weak Gulf Coast team. That one.
Right.
Let's keep rolling through things here. Move over to the Big Sky Conference, where we were talking about this Montana team. Looks like they're finally starting to put things together. This conference actually already started conference play, and Montana out to a 2-0 start.
Yeah.
Picking up a pair of road wins, actually.
Yeah, they started it off on the road, and they picked up both of them. That's a pretty good start. I wouldn't be surprised at all, Chad, if Montana ran away with this, like if they ended up 3 or 4 games ahead of the second-place team.
Now, we did like Northern Colorado, who was crowned the champions of the Front Range. Now, they also started the road, went 2-0. Weber State, 2-0, also both road games. So, right. All three of those teams, not only 2-0, but 2-0 on the road.
Right. Northern Colorado, Front Range. Oh, forget the Front Range. I'm sick of the Front Range.
This week in the Big Sky, though, we've got more conference play coming up, and Montana's coming home against Sac State and Portland State.
There's other games on. There are other games on tonight.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much to really watch. We could be sitting here next week with 3-4-0 teams, I would suspect.
I would suspect that too. So,
how about Idaho? Just been pathetically bad this year.
Shockingly bad.
I mean, they're hit by injuries where
Nate
Sherwood out, but you know,
right. So, but still, not a good year for the whole state of Idaho this year. Well, Idaho State's 3-6 against D1, but Boise State, not under the radar, sucking it up as well.
Yeah, Idaho State may be the best team in the state of Idaho. I don't think I've ever said that before.
Right, yes.
Over the Big South Conference, this is the league where, David, I'd like to talk about a team we haven't discussed much this year, but a huge win at Wake Forest. Now, how about Gardner Webb? Have we been ignoring them a little too much this year?
Probably so. The only time we've mentioned Gardner Webb is in connection with another team, and that is Furman, who we'll get to in a little bit, to point out that they needed overtime to beat them at home. Maybe that wasn't so much of a head-scratcher after all, but yeah, I mean, I'm starting to really like this Gardner Webb team. The win against Georgia Tech certainly made you sit up and take notice.
I mean, they're 2-1 in the ACC.
They're 2-1 in the ACC. If they were in the ACC, I bet they'd finished ahead of both those teams. But getting business taken care of, we mentioned the close loss to Furman, but like Virginia Tech, VCU, not bad teams at all. And against VCU, they were right in there on opening night, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, the Eastern Illinois loss, a bit of a head-scratcher. That's not a good Eastern Illinois team. But other than that, they've
been down there. Yeah, I kind of missed that one.
Yeah. Other than that, though, especially with Radford having, you know, definitely slipping back. Now, I mean, they've played some tough teams, Radford has. But
yeah.
But I watched some of that game Tuesday night against Mars Hill, whoever the heck that is, for Radford. The game was close at halftime. They did not blow away a non-D1 team. And I'm not certain that Radford is as good as we thought they were going to be.
They haven't shown it so far, although I still like them once they get in the conference play. Another team, Chad, just to mention, they got off to kind of an exciting start, and they've tapered back a little bit, but still one of the better showings is this Longwood team, and I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. This is a team that is very unaccomplished as a program, having one of the better years that they've ever had still.
To be 10-5 for Longwood. I think Longwood this time last year was about 1-15 or something like that. Yeah. They were pretty bad.
Right. So, you know, do they have any life in them? And when you look at the bottom of the league and how bad Upstate is and how bad Asheville is
pathetically bad.
I mean, we're going to see this Longwood team maybe finish around 500. And is there a CIT in their future? Wouldn't that be something?
There could be a Big South Conference championship game in their future, too. So who knows? Yeah. That they may have a shot at the NCAAs, at least in the tournament. But I think we should mention this. You know, we have our Centenary Award. We're going to talk about it a lot more when we get into February and such for the worst team in D1. Very strong contender here in this Asheville team. They have been very, very bad.
Yeah, their strength of schedule a little bit tougher than what we like to see out of a centenary team, but that was prior to conference play.
Yeah, a lot of 353s there, and before this year we never seen anything worse than the 351. So hey,
right? Yeah. Oh my God, they're so horrible! And what happened? I mean, this is an Asheville team that you know recently I think went to back-to-back NCAA tournaments.
Very competitive in recent years. Upcoming schedule: Gardner Webb with an interesting road test at Campbell. Campbell with Chris Clemens, who can score 10 million points a night, but nobody else on the team can play, unfortunately. But
yeah,
that should be at least an interesting road test for them, I think.
Right. Hampton hosting their first ever Big South game, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Hampton is in this conference. I thought they'd be a little more competitive than they've been so far, but maybe they can turn things around.
Yeah.
Our conference play. Mm-hmm. Big West Conference.
Is it safe to say that this is also a two-horse race, or does Hawaii have some life?
I think it's Hawaii has a little bit of life. They have picked up a couple of wins. They win two games in the Diamond Head Classic. So I would not throw out Hawaii completely, or especially with Santa Barbara picking up that nice win over San Francisco. I think that they prove that they are going to be right in there with Irvine this year.
Yeah, real nice win for them against a San Francisco team that we were talking about inside the bubble, and they could still end up there. But where is that on the side? I remember watching that, and it was, again, we need better graphics out in San Francisco.
Yeah, I didn't actually get a chance to watch that game, but you said the streaming was absolutely horrible. And West Coast Conference and Big West, both these to do a little bit of upgrades in your streaming. Just throwing it out there for you guys.
Right, yeah.
But upcoming this week in the Big West, we've got, here we go, big one, Holy Names.
Going
at
to
Cal Poly.
What the hell is that crap? Where's Bethesda
with a Big West doubleheader on Friday and Saturday. Conference play not starting till Wednesday next week.
Yeah, Wednesday next week. We've got the Poly Barb Cup. Looking forward to that.
The Poly Barb Cup and the UC
Davis. The Davis Vine.
The Davis Vine Cup. Thing. Yeah, big one there.
Yeah.
Let's just move along to the Colonial.
Oh, we'll be here for hours on the Big West.
Yeah, with a long road trip out there to Northridge also. Interesting to see one this late in the season.
And again, getting started a little bit late, but again, like the Big West doing their conference tournament at the end of championship week. So,
right, they could start a week later because their championship is a week later. But here is the Colonial, where there's two teams that I'm really high on in this conference, and they're two of those three undefeated teams there, Hofstra and Charleston.
Yeah, College of Charleston, I really like them. Hofstra, I like them, but not as much as COC. I know COC's schedule's been a little bit down, but the win against VCU is really good, and you kind of have to start wondering, oh, that's not their profile.
Floating here 1 second. Let's go 1 second here.
It's just like our production truck. But yeah, they got the wins
at VCU.
Memphis neutral floor, but at VCU, that is a really good win because that might end up being VCU's one or two only home losses. And you kind of got to wonder if they blow through this conference and if they ended up 28-3, 29-3, is that enough to get them inside the bubble? I hope so because they're pretty good.
Yeah, interesting start to the conference schedule. They got James Madison, Northeastern, and Hofstra all on the road fairly early. So they're going to get their tests early here in January, the first couple of weeks here in January.
Yeah,
Hofstra, they're on the right, a lot of cupcakes. That 317 strength of schedule. But the nice win at Stony Brook, who we applauded earlier in the show.
Yeah, that's a really good win. How is Stony Brook 156? Well, I guess the net is still normalizing itself. But
William & Mary also after a 2-0 conference start. And I thought this William & Mary team would be better than they were in non-conference play, so maybe they're turning it around also. But
yeah, all in all, a huge disappointment. I realize it's in the classic Colonial days, it was a fun league. I mean, a multi-bid league, still an under-the-radar league, but in multi-bid league at least half the time. You kind of miss some of those old Colonial days.
Yeah, and the conference, other than Charleston, has been pretty disappointing across the board. Northeastern, we thought they'd be better than they are. James Madison and Delaware both showed some signs of life and then went in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's the upcoming schedule. I don't know. I think we've already discussed some of those games.
Yeah.
Let's just go right on over to Conference USA.
Yeah, and a big night. Again, we needed to restart earlier tonight. You kind of hate that we can't talk about some of the results. And by the time most of you are watching this, they will have gone final. But we'll get to that to upcoming games. North Texas, Louisiana Tech tonight.
Yeah, let's go ahead. There's the results, but let's go include that Western Kentucky win over Wisconsin, which we discussed the other night, and Florida Atlantic winning at Illinois. But there's those games that are coming up tonight. You can just insert in here a discussion of those Louisiana Tech, North Texas, and Marshall Old Dominion games that are coming up later tonight.
Right.
Both look good early season conference games.
Yeah, and looking at the top three of those, I know we can only get two profiles on the screen at a time. North Texas, 13-1, but hardly any meat on their schedule. La Tech, you and I have been big on them all year, but they kind of let us down a little bit sort of early on in late November, early December. But I think they're back. I still think their ceiling's really high. And then, of course, Old Dominion. Probably the best profile out of the three.
Let's get there's North Texas on the left there. You know, nothing in the top two tier. Only one game against the top two tiers, and that was their blowout loss at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
La Tech has the win at Wichita State. Is not looking as good of a win, and party loss in Delaware, I think.
Yeah, the Delaware loss, and then I think after that game, again, you see that they're late in November. We kind of like shrugged, but since then they've been on fire. Now, I know that they haven't been playing. But the win at Louisiana, pretty good. The win at SFA, pretty good. And, you look at those losses at LSU, they were right in that game, had a lead for most of the game until really the final minutes when they just couldn't hit a shot. And then Greensboro beat them fairly handily in that tournament. I forget which one. But this is a dangerous La Tech team. And in the bottom, I mean, we used to describe Conference USA as the top being NIT caliber and then – that's the top three or four, and then the rest of it being the Southland. I don't know if that's still true or not, but if it is, Old Dominion, Louisiana Tech, and
North Texas. But here I just pulled up the Old Dominion profile, also the Western Kentucky profile.
Yeah.
The left
schizophrenic.
Left there, the Old Dominion, the win over VCU, beat at home, win at Syracuse. I'm very high on what this Old Dominion team in Western Kentucky. They beat Wisconsin. They win in Arkansas. They beat West Virginia.
Yep.
They lose to Indiana State. They lose to Missouri State. They lose at home to Troy.
Yeah, and as much as you hate to say this, I think this profile is too scattershot for the committee to take it, even though there's some good things on it, because there's also some horrible things on it.
There's so much horrible, and there's no more real chances to get anything else good, and they don't have enough good to counteract all that bad, I don't think. You look at the metrics, they're just not even close to NCAA tournament caliber metrics.
Right, yeah. But this is a team that would be dangerous if they were to get the auto bid, just because you don't know if you're going to see a top 25 team or a bottom 25 team.
Yeah, I would argue that, you know, if there is an at-large bid, it might be that Old Dominion team, and they probably have to run through this conference all the way to the conference championship game.
I think you're right about that.
Upcoming games, also beyond the games that, you know, you can read about what happened tonight after we recorded this, but Saturday, Western Kentucky and Old Dominion really circling that game.
Yeah, because, again, you just never know with Western Kentucky. North Texas going to UTEP. UTEP kind of disappointing this year. I don't know, but yeah, if you look at Middle Tennessee at Southern Miss, that would have been kind of fun a year ago.
Don't discount this Florida Atlantic team at Middle Tennessee. They came off the win at Illinois, so they've been kind of weird so far to watch. I'll put it that way. But let's move on. Let's find another conference to discuss.
Yeah, let's get on to the next conference.
Horizon League.
The Horizon League.
Now, this is another customer. Very disappointing, David, but I don't think we've given enough talk about Northern Kentucky this year, and I think maybe we should spend a few minutes on them because they are now up to 12-3.
Yeah, on them and no one else. Wright State losing another game at the buzzer. You see, you happen to notice that no one else, it's not just that they're not above 500, it's that everybody else is about three or four games below 500. It is horrendously bad.
Northern Kentucky, again, nothing in the top two levels there in terms of wins, but you know they've got a couple road wins and they're 12-3 overall, which is not a bad record.
Their record's pretty good. Now they've gone to the Bakery to get it. They did take some shots at heavyweights. Didn't really play well in either of those games though. UCF and Cincinnati, and then really kind of a head scratching loss at Eastern Kentucky. But if anybody, I mean, again, they're they. at least they've taken care of business and won the games that they should win. Nobody else has done that. Nobody else has come close. You and I mean, I know we say this every week, we're fans of this league. We really like that it's a basketball-centric league. The vast majority, there is no football at all in this conference at any level. Most of these schools, I don't think any of them, Youngstown does. Are they the only ones that play football? I think they are. I never noticed that before.
They might be. I'm not sure that anybody else here plays football.
Yeah, so, you know, basketball's the show, but it just has not taken off this year.
Yeah, upcoming schedule, Northern Kentucky, a couple road tests at Oakland and at Detroit. Detroit may have the best player of the conference in Mike Davis's son, Antoine, there, but
yeah,
I don't think Detroit's going to be that good of a team.
No.
But it is against the two other undefeated teams. Green Bay, keep an eye on them as well. They do have that win over Belmont. Don't forget that.
Yeah, they do. And they've kind of – if anyone has sucked a lot less than I thought they would, it was them.
Let's talk about the upset of the season, David. Maybe the big – I think it's going to be the biggest upset we're going to see all season. It happened in the Ivy League this week when winless Monmouth went on the road to a Penn team that had beaten Villanova and won in overtime.
This is a stupid upset. I mean, and it really is – it didn't resonate nearly as much as some of the other ones have, just because Penn, while good, wasn't in the rankings. And earlier in the year, and we'll periodically talk about times where we've seen, and it's very rare, teams from outside the top 200 beat a top five team. I keep getting back to that TCU Kansas example. I don't remember exactly when that was. These two teams, Chad, were 300 spots apart.
It was unbelievable upset. I'm still shaking my head over that. And that was after Penn completely no-showed a game that we talked about last week against Toledo. We thought that'd be a huge game, and Penn did not even bother showing up in Toledo.
Yeah.
And then they lose at home to Monmouth. You know, I don't know. I was crowding Penn one of the top under-the-radar teams of the nation, and now I'm done with them practically.
Yeah, well, they got to win the Ivy League after a loss like that. Monmouth, it's not that Monmouth hadn't won. It's that they hadn't really come close to winning. And the reason this didn't just turn basketball on its ear was because, could you imagine if the 300th team beat the number one team? Well, that's how far apart these two were. It was 353 against 54. Maybe it was close to 300 spots. And I think because Penn was not in the top 25 or hadn't been, that most people just didn't notice it. But I don't think there's ever been a bigger upset as far as how far apart the two teams were ever in my – at least not that I can remember.
One of the biggest upsets I ever remember. I mean, we're talking, you know, in the Chaminade, Virginia type of games.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Also, Brown, a win at San Diego State. We mentioned that the other night. You know, Brown, 10-4. Maybe we got to look at him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 9-4 on the year. This is a Brown team that has no history at all that I know of. 9-4 out of conference.
Yeah. It's been forever since they were last in the NCAA tournament. And I mean, like, you know, probably like the 50s or so.
Yeah.
Upcoming this week, we are not into. Well, actually, we do have the first conference game coming up here on Saturday, the first of the two Penn-Princeton games.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, a couple thrillers like Johnson & Wales Law Firm at Cornell.
And yeah.
Skidmore at Yale.
Skidmore.
Yale actually at Cal State Northridge. You mentioned that already.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a couple weeks until we actually get into Ivy League play, given that it is a late tournament and it's only a 14-game schedule.
Right, yeah.
Let's go to the other half of that huge upset. How about Monmouth now, 1-12?
Yeah, all the way up, shooting up 48 spots in the net right there. If they do that every week, they're going to finish the season ranked number one, Chad.
St. Peter Peacocks had an afternoon game today against Siena, picked up a win. They're in first place, but that's about all we can say about this conference.
Yeah, we still like this league, but my God, it's hard to get excited over this.
I mean, Niagara 7-6, the only team with a winning record.
Yeah, Niagara, only team with a winning record. I think we still like Ryder the most overall, but like Iona Manhattan, it'll still be fun when they play, but is it going to even feel like the Iona Manhattan game? And then like Monmouth Iona, the Tim Kluse calling out the bench on Twitter a few years back. This conference, you and I have loved it, and it's just not as exciting as it has been in years past.
Yeah, no, it isn't. I mean, we've got conference play starting this week here, Riders at Fairfield. I don't know. You know, maybe as conference play gets going, it'll get exciting again, but I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
Go from bad to good. Let's go to the Mid-American Conference. We mentioned that Buffalo technically not under the radar, but how about this other couple other teams here? Toledo, Kent State.
Yeah.
Even this, you know, Ball State's got some solid, some top 100 metrics there.
Right. Starting off with Toledo, one of the biggest criticisms of them is just how weak their schedule had been. Well, they played a Penn team prior to losing to Monmouth, by the way, and just blew them off the court and looked super good doing it. Kent State, another team, they went to Louisville earlier and got kind of manhandled. But other than that, they've held serve in their game. So
yeah, quick shout out to Jalen Walker on Kent State there. He's been coming off the bench all season. He was suspended for the senior, suspended for the first five games of the year. Been coming off the bench since then because they didn't want to break up the way that they've been playing because they had only one loss at the time he came back. He scored 24 points a game off the bench, the best sixth man in the nation right now. So
yeah, probably so.
Toledo, you know, really looking good at this point with that win. Upcoming schedule here in the MAC, Buffalo at Eastern Michigan, and then circle that game Tuesday, David, Toledo at Buffalo.
Yeah, that one's going to be a lot of fun. Those two play, I think, is that their only meeting?
No, they play twice this year.
Okay, they do play twice. So at least I thought they did, but I knew that they were in different divisions. But that one's going to be fun. The one in Toledo is going to be super fun.
Actually, circle this Friday night game before that. It might be a game that Toledo overlooks against a Ball State team that is not that bad at home. So they got to keep an eye out for that game.
Not at all, yeah.
What conference do we have next? How about the MEAC?
Oh, the MEAC, yeah.
David, go ahead. Talk about the MEAC.
Well, the MEAC, we start conference play, and we've got, I think, 12 teams in the MEAC this year with Hampton departing. We've got the team of the people, Chad, in this league. There they are, tied for first place, right there in the conference standings.
Yep, and I will give a quick shout-out to Coppin State, our only winless team left against any division of play in the nation. See if they can finally get a win as we reach conference play now for the Eagles.
Right, and similar to the SWAC, our feature conference, both entirely comprised of HBCUs, both consisting of teams that play pretty much all of their games on the road out of conference, although this one not quite as many as the SWAC. But here we are in the conference play, and what's the team of the people doing? They go to Coppin State, and this is a winnable game.
Yep, a winnable road game, but Coppin State, you know, the two teams we just discussed, going head-to-head here on Saturday, so circle that one. Let's talk about a very disappointing conference, the Missouri Valley.
Yes, do we have to?
We had been so high on this Drake team last week. We were drinking their Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Double overtime last night. They lose at home. Actually, it was on the road, but they lose to Evansville.
And again, as good as we thought that they were, I think that we thought they were going to run away from the league, and they still might, but not the best way to get started. And I think that pretty much drove home what everybody else probably already knew, that I was still holding on some slim chances that this league could get a team on the bubble or in it. They cannot.
And then you throw in the fact that Illinois State, the team we liked, loses to Valpo.
Rather exciting fashion, but
A half-court shot at the buzzer there. If you haven't seen the highlights, take a look for them. Bradley, we like. They lose to Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
This may be one of the worst Missouri Valley seasons we've seen. Coming off of a Final Four appearance, it's really disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
More conference play coming up this week in the MVC, including Loyola Chicago at Drake. Kind of circle that one if you want to.
Yeah.
We done yet? What do we got? Northeast Conference.
Northeast Conference. Ooh, our favorite conference.
Finished up non-conference play with LIU Brooklyn picking up a huge road win at Fordham.
Yeah, and again, more of a head-scratching for Fordham. But look at that. Look at the top two teams. I don't know how you're tied. I mean, I know everybody's tied right now, but I'm excited about this league already. Just like seeing LIU Brooklyn and St. Francis Brooklyn up at the top there.
Now, David, I did want to get a quick score update here because I knew that LIU Brooklyn was playing as we recorded this, and I thought they were getting trounced. No, actually, as I record this, they were down big to Sacred Heart. They've come back and they've tied that game as we record this. So
yeah,
they were down big early though. So nice right. comeback by Brooklyn in the game that's going on as we record this.
Mm-hmm. And again, a fun league. Eight teams get in. Tournaments at campus sites. They reseeded in the semifinals. It's done the right way, and it's in these little gyms. And it's just I'm just glad that conference play is underway.
Yeah, and there's the upcoming schedule. Mentioned there's all these games that are going on tonight, also this weekend.
Yeah,
these are all just fun games. Just watch every single one of them.
Right. Yeah, and it's a Thursday Saturday format. Five games every Thursday, five games every Saturday. It is awesome. My favorite league.
Ohio Valley Conference.
Not my favorite league.
Not your favorite league, but two of our best under the radar teams are in here: Belmont and Murray.
Yeah. Murray State, again, playing a schedule that was entirely too soft for is how good they were. Their two losses at Alabama, a game where they really had a chance to win, didn't play well in the first half, came back, got the lead in the second half, but couldn't hold on. And then at Auburn, where they trailed, I mean, that game really wasn't put away till the last minute or so. They never had the lead, but they were right in there. Belmont, a little disappointing. They went up to Purdue this weekend, and while Purdue's pretty good, I didn't think that they – I thought that they would play better than what they did in that loss.
Yeah, but, that and the Green Bay loss are their only two losses. I still like this Belmont team a lot. The sweep of Lipscomb, you can never overlook that.
Right. And so we've got two really good teams here and a bunch of trash.
Yeah, and tonight Belmont is going to be hosting Jacksonville State. Murray's going to be hosting Morehead State.
Yeah, that Jack State was a team we were kind of big on coming into the year, but I just don't see them going to Belmont, get the win. Murray-Morehead, just to kind of give you an idea, that rivalry's lost some of its glitter, hasn't it, since Morehead having a little bit of trouble keeping up.
Yeah, at one point, that was one of the best OVC rivalries. I just don't think it's there anymore. It just hasn't had the excitement that it's had in the past.
Right.
So. Over in the Patriot League, I was very concerned about this conference last night where Bucknell, who had looked red hot, was down huge to Army last night in their conference opener.
Yeah, 25-26 down and came back and won.
Yep. Huge comeback for Bucknell. Yeah. So I'm still buying in on this Bucknell thing here. I did not like them heading into the season, but I'm ready to buy it.
I am too, and I'm with you because they had kind of gone through a rebuild mode, but the way that they've been playing recently, minus the first half of last night, I just think that they've looked better than anybody else. Boston U's had their moments, but nothing. I think Bucknell is going to consistently be the best team. But this is the kind of league where, I mean, you see the bottom two teams take down the teams at the top all the time.
Yeah, this is the type of league where you see the eighth season winning the conference tournament. Didn't Holy Cross do that a couple of years back?
They did. And the other thing about this tournament is it's at campus sites. Yeah, Holy Cross won four games on the road to win the – it was – and I don't think they won – yeah, four conference games all year.
That was one of the most insane conference tournament runs I've ever seen. Here's the upcoming schedule this week, a couple games tonight, but Bucknell at BU on Saturday, kind of circling that one.
Yeah. Lehigh Lafayette opening against each other. You kind of wish that one had been a little later. Big rivalry. You kind of want the students there for that, but what a crazy game it was.
Yeah, that was a fun game last night. It really was.
Yeah.
Over in the SoCon, we had Furman in the top 25. They weren't on the radar. They now lose to East Tennessee State badly. They weren't even in that game after they suffered the loss to LSU. And David, you were saying earlier in the season that you didn't think Furman would be the top three or four teams in the conference. I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah, and they had a great story. They had a great run out of conference. They had certainly a great win at Villanova. Every bit of them cracking the rankings and all of the media darling that they got, they absolutely deserved. But when you get down to it, I still never thought that they were better than Greensboro or Wofford or East Tennessee State. I certainly don't feel like they're better than East Tennessee State now.
Yeah, East Tennessee State destroyed them. Wofford and Greensboro are also up to 2-0 starts, and we've been talking about them. They're kind of our the Citadel. Yeah.
How about, speaking of the Citadel, big game tonight. Well, a fun night in the SoCon tonight. Citadel, I think, with East Tennessee State. Is that right? Like,
let's get the schedule up here on the screen. There it is. Yeah. Citadel's at Wofford.
Citadel's at Wofford. So that one is going to –
And then at Furman on Saturday, so a huge week for the Citadel.
Yeah, and the Citadel, a fun team to watch if you haven't watched basketball. ESPN Plus has all these games. It is worth it. Just the uniqueness of it, because they're one of those teams that just runs up and down the floor. They like to get a shot up between 6 and 10 seconds of possessing the ball. It is going to be crazy. I'm excited about this at Wofford tonight.
Yeah. All right. Southland Conference. It's a conference that just got a conference play underway here. Abilene Christian picked up a win over New Orleans. SFA also picked up a win over SELA. I don't know what else to say about the league.
Right. Abilene Christian, still the story of the league. I mean, we sound like a broken record talking about him every week. 8-2 against D1 competition. Has a nice win against a pretty good Campbell team. Texas Tech beat them pretty bad. I think it was Texas Tech. But other than that, there's no surprise there. There's no shame there. And SFA, I still think that all of us are kind of expecting them to see them contend for the league, if not win it. But I got to tell you, this Abilene Christian team, by Southland standards, pretty good this year.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple good road tests this week for Abilene Christian at Sam Houston State, then at McNeese State. So, you know, keep an eye on them. You know, these road games in the Southland is going to be where we find out just how good they are, I think.
Right, yeah.
Let's go over, we already discussed the SWAC, so let's run over to the Summit League real quick, which was starting conference play. There was South Dakota State pick up win at Western Illinois. Fort Wayne out to a 2-0 start as well.
Yeah, South Dakota State still has the highest ceiling. They still have the biggest talent level. If they win this conference and get to the NCAA tournament, they're still potentially dangerous. They're just not inside the bubble, like 11-12 line, like we thought they were, unless they go out there and just blow through this and don't lose a single game.
Their predictive metrics still in the top 100. So, you know, that shows you, you know, the talent they've got on this team with Dahm and Jenkins and the points that they've been scoring. So, but yeah, very disappointing out of conference schedule for South Dakota State. They are at Fort Wayne and then hosting Denver this week, if I'm reading this correctly. and at South Dakota.
Okay. Yeah, geography is not a friend of this conference. It is just scattered all over the place.
David, you want to talk a little Sun Belt?
Yeah, let's talk some Sun Belt. A big night in the Sun Belt tonight. Texas State hosting Georgia Southern.
Yeah, that is a huge game. And how about this Texas State team? And after that 11-2 start, maybe we should pull up their team sheet here.
Yeah, not a strong strength of schedule, so I'm not too excited about them yet. But we'll see. That's why I'm really anxious to see what they do tonight. If you're watching this tomorrow, you already know what they did tonight. We can't talk about what they did tonight because we don't know what they're going to do tonight. Right. But there's their profile. A lot of I just can't jump up and down about that. You know, I watched a little of that Houston Baptist game. Houston Baptist is awful, by the way. They barely beat them, and it doesn't seem like they've been burying teams the way that you should bury Tier 4 teams, but they are what they are. They're 11-2. We'll see what they do tonight against a pretty good Georgia Southern team.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, they gave Arkansas a game. They gave Drake a game. So their only two losses they were in. So that's where I kind of
– Right. Yeah, they did give Arkansas a very good game. Like, they almost beat them. I did watch that game, yeah.
So, this week, Georgia Southern and Georgia State, to learn a lot about this team. I do like this Georgia State team a lot, too, though, at the
top. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of them.
Let's last conference I think we got to discuss here is the WAC.
Yep. A lot of good stories here in the WAC. Seattle picking up some Pac-12 wins. New Mexico State, I don't think they have any Pac-12 wins, but they would have won against the Pac-12.
I think they beat Washington Pac-12. State, didn't they?
Oh, they did. Yeah, they did beat Wazoo. Chicago State just 1-12 on the year, largely because they haven't played any Pac-12 teams. If they had, they would have probably won some more games. Utah Valley getting a big win earlier this week.
Utah Valley won at Fresno State, and Grand Canyon, gave San Diego a game, but did lose that one.
Yeah, Grand Canyon has given 7-6. I mean, eventually you got to beat these teams, but they gave Nevada a game, they gave Seton Hall a game, they gave San Diego a game. So it's not like they're getting beaten by teams that aren't any good. They could still make some noise in the conference, but I mean, really, I remain impressed by New Mexico State, still a little disappointed that they fell to Drake, I think it was. But they just look so much better than everybody else. Seattle, a really good story. I don't think they have what New Mexico State has.
I'll tell you what I like about this conference also. Other than the bottom two teams, the top seven, all 500 or better against D1, which is a lot better than we've seen out of the WAC beyond New Mexico State in recent years.
Yeah, Cal Baptist, their first year as a transitional program, having an excellent year by transitional program standards.
Upcoming this week, we are getting into conference play also here on New Mexico State at Cal Baptist. I don't know what else we got there. Seattle at Grand Canyon. Kind of take a look at that one there as well.
Yeah, that one's going to be worth tuning into.
And then next Thursday, we'll actually have another show before that because we're going to be back to our regular schedule. But next Thursday, the Lopes at New Mexico State. That's becoming a rivalry, David.
It is. And, well, especially if you read Twitter, you mentioned Grand Canyon. Just go tweet right now Grand Canyon, and I guarantee you five New Mexico State people will respond to it. It's at the very least a feud. New Mexico State has dominated the series. They're certainly the more storied program. They've been around forever. Grand Canyon's new to D1, but has made a lot of progress. And I guess that's irritating a lot of New Mexico State fans. Always a fun game, though. You're going to want to watch that one. It's destination programming. And don't be surprised, and I'm not making this up, the Lopes are probably going to bring 1,000 fans with them.
I would not be shocked at all. Let's go to our top 10 list.
All right.
Our top 10, under the radar top 10 list for January 3rd, we'll start with a few honorable mentions. Kent State, Liberty, NJIT, Stony Brook.
Yeah, and again, we've gotten done talking about all those teams. Liberty with a big win against UCLA. NJIT, lots of road wins, although against a weak schedule. Stony Brook also with 7 wins. A little bit of trivia here, Chad. NJIT, Stony Brook, only 2 D1 schools with 7 true road wins. So glad that they
really got a mission. Wow, that's a heck of a stat, yeah.
Yeah.
At number 10, though, on our list here is Furman. Big fall for the Paladins, really.
Yeah, and I don't know how much longer they're going to be in the under-the-radar top 10. In fact, if they played Kent State right now, I don't think they'd beat them.
Irvine, still hanging in there in the top 10 as well.
I've seen it. I'm trying to act surprised. Who's number 8?
Number 8, we've got New Mexico
State. New Mexico State, we just talked about them. Yeah, big game coming up against Grand Canyon. Real impressed with this New Mexico State team. Wouldn't be surprised if they ran rush out over the WAC.
At 7, we've got the North Texas team. I'm still not sold on them, but we'll find out a lot more very soon.
Yep.
At number 6, UNC Greensboro. That is, I like them a lot better than Furman at the moment.
I do too, and I do. I think them and Wofford not even getting an honorable mention, are probably going to finish ahead of Furman. Don't discount Samford either. Don't discount East Tennessee State either. So, again, like who's trending up, who's trending down? Furman just barely on the list because they basically, they've earned the right to be there. So.
Number 5, Charleston. We discussed them and how much we are liking them out of the Colonial. The only team we really like out of the Colonial.
Yeah, if we did a top 50, I don't think they might be the only team, minus with Hofstra.
Okay. Number 4, Toledo. You know,
Toledo, all this Toledo. Loss. Yeah. Yeah. Big game this week against Buffalo, who is not under the radar because they're in the national rankings.
And I think our top 3 have been pretty consistent for the last several weeks here. Just maybe the order change a little bit. But number 3 this week, we've got Murray State.
Yeah, who's in action tonight and Saturday. Very winnable games. I think that they're going to be 3rd or higher next week as well.
And one of our favorite non-conference rivalries for the past several years has been the Battle of the Boulevard there in Nashville. Yeah. And once again, the top 2 teams are Lipscomb at number 2 and Belmont at number 1.
Yeah, kind of disappointed that Andy Hendurahan did not make the rankings this week, but what can you do?
What can you do? All right. Well, I guess on that level, we put this down, David. And do you have any other final thoughts for the night?
I don't, other than we forgot to give a shout-out to Handy. I don't have his profile ready. I can't throw it up. Okay. Handy, if you're watching, we hope you enjoyed the show anyway.
Yes. George Mason strength and conditioning coach, Handy Hendurahan. Big fan of the show, from what I understand.
Yes. Why would he not be? It's always about him.
On that note, though, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. This has been our Under the Radar. We'll be back with a normal schedule starting next week. And lots of other great content, lots of content on the site. Ty Tell's been posting his non-conference awards and season awards and everything like that.
Yeah, and you know what else happens next week, I think, Chad? We got our first bracket show, which means we have the first scrub. A couple of these Under the Radar conferences, they're coming out of italics, I hate to say.
Yep, we are going to start doing bracket shows next week. It's going to be fun. Yep. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.